Welcome to Podcast 2187. Enjoy the show. And don't forget to submit your blaster for inspection.
Welcome back to Podcast 2187, and that's a very fun thing for me to say because it's been a little while. What do we have here? We have Mark, and we have me, and we're back. So, Mark, how are you doing?
Doing good. Doing very good.
Obviously, I'm happy to hear that.
Why?
Because I'm happy to hear that you're fine. You're good. You're happy.
Yeah, I'm in a complete different state than the last we spoke. You and I have talked since then, but I officially graduated right. College, at least my one degree.
Nice.
First part, yeah. So, a little bit of something.
Yeah, no, that's one of the things I was going to say, actually. It's kind of funny. As I'm sure people have noticed, if you're listening to this live, if you're not like going, if you're one of those people who you're listening to this like way after we released it, like you're going back and listening to our episodes, because a few people have done that, you're like a legend. I just want you to know. But if you're listening to this as we posted it, you'll have noticed that we have not had an episode for a little while. It's been a few weeks. One of the major things behind that is that Mark and I, without even like not on purpose, we were pretty much doing the same thing. Because both of us, this is our first podcast where both of us are in entirely separate locations from where we were last time.
Yeah.
Like permanently. Like, we have both moved. So that's a huge part of the reason that we have not been back before now. So if there are any like technical glitches or sound problems or anything, let me know. I am trying to work with it, get things back to normal with the sound. Because again, I've got a whole new setup and everything now. But hopefully it's pretty good. But so at the same time, there's not a whole lot that's happened since we were last recording. Some stuff, and we'll talk about the big news today, actually, about a new animated series. Other than that, there hasn't been a lot. So I guess if we're going to fill in the gaps of the time that we've been gone, I would just say we're doing well. Thank you for asking, people.
And if some people have missed us.
I was going to say, I know a couple of people who have mentioned that. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's, I suppose it's kind of good that in the midst of all this, you know, transition in each of our lives, that there hasn't been anything going on as far as Star Wars to talk about. And then today, we had been planning on recording this episode, at least since last week.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the gods gave us a gift. Here you go, here's something to talk about.
That's certainly true, and it's something substantial and legitimate and official.
Yeah, yeah, it's nice now, to have something official.
Yeah, because it's been discussed out there before by some friends of the show. I'm sure people are familiar with Corey and Noah. They do Kessel Run transmissions, and they've talked about it before. And of course, we're talking about this a new animated series coming to Disney Plus next year, 2021. It is Star Wars The Bad Batch, and it is a spinoff of The Clone Wars, especially Season 7 that we just got, where we have the Bad... I mean, if you watched it, you know, The Bad Batch, and they're going to get their own series now. And it's interesting. I've seen mixed reactions to it. Mostly seems to be pretty positive, but a couple people, not as much. I know I personally have some, I'll say, mixed feelings about it, things that I like about it, things that I have concerns about.
Well, describe the show first, and then let's hear your mixed reaction.
Well, this is so on deadline.com. I have that article pulled up. It says the series follows the elite and experimental clones of the Bad Batch, first introduced in the Clone Wars, as they find their way in a rapidly changing galaxy in the immediate aftermath of the Clone War. Members of the Bad Batch, a unique squad of clones who vary genetically from their brothers in the clone army, each possess a singular exceptional skill which makes them extraordinarily effective soldiers and a formidable crew. In the post-Clone War era, they will take on daring mercenary missions as they struggle to stay afloat and find new purpose. That's the summary.
And Filoni is in charge?
Filoni is the executive producer.
Yeah, he's the top guy on it.
He's not the supervising director, though, but he is the executive producer.
Who's the supervising director?
If I remember correctly, that was Brad Rao. I hope I'm saying, pronouncing that properly. I hope if you're listening. Hi, Brad.
Well, because the question at this point is, I see mostly a mix of, looks like Clone Wars, heavy Clone Wars, heavy Rebels, a few Resistance people in there.
Right.
Including the head writer. She's formerly...
Jennifer Corbett?
Yeah, I think Corbett. So.
Yeah.
So the question is, which way is this show going to lean? Is it going to lean more Clone Wars? Is it going to lean more Resistance? You know, we don't even know what the animation style is. And I certainly hope this just gives them an opportunity to just keep going with everything that they had before, since they've already established right. these characters.
Right.
You know, with...
To use the same models style. Or whatever.
Yeah, immediately I'm already more into the show if it has that style. I'm willing to give it far more leeway if it's the same style.
Well, and that kind of starts into what I was saying about things I like and concerns I have about it. You pretty much got the overall concept right there. Things I like about it are I like to have a continuation of the Clone Wars in some capacity, both storyline. You and I have talked before on this show about like an aftermath aspect to the Clone Wars. That's kind of how this might feel. And I like the animation potential for it, because we know the season 7 for Clone Wars, the animation was like just next level awesome.
Oh yeah,
I like those things about it. Things that are more concerning to me about it, I have some reservations just about some of the people behind it, because. Like, not that they're not talented or anything, but I want to see a continuation of the Clone Wars being done by the people who did the Clone Wars. Because I've been trying hard for a while to not compare Clone Wars and Rebels and Resistance. But at the same time, it's perfectly fair to do that. I was thinking about that earlier. I'm like, why am I trying so hard to not compare them? They are the three animated series that we have from Lucasfilm Animation.
Right.
Like, that's not a problem. So, yeah, let's compare them. Story-wise, The Clone Wars is by far, to me, in my opinion, the most mature. And I don't mean for the viewers. I just mean story content is more matured in that than the other two. As a whole, there are specific episodes and arcs in these that are, in like Rebels, for example, that are on par with Clone Wars. But as a whole series. So having people from not Clone Wars who worked on these other shows like Rebels and Resistance, which, again, I liked them. I did not love them to the level I did Clone Wars, but I liked them. So having them come into it, just to me, it's almost like you're taking the B team and putting them in the creative room of an A team show. And that's
essentially what's
concerning to me. Well, maybe not,
possibly
but not. That's just the first thought I had.
Well, because hold on, let me jump in on that first thought real quick. Is that, I think, maybe I'm pronouncing his name incorrectly, but Matt Machinovich, I think is his name.
Uh-huh.
Did that come out fine?
Yeah, I'm cool with it.
He's the creator of The Bad Batch.
Right.
He's also the writer of those episodes.
Right.
He's also a writer on this show, even though it doesn't say it, because he tweeted out today that he was working on episodes and it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, and some of the things he wrote in the Clone Wars include like the Citadel and lots of season 6, I think I saw, and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's a party line type of deal. You expect him to say good things about it, but at the same time, it is one of the guys from Clone Wars who's back in it, you know?
Right.
So
anyway, at the same time, like, I don't remember if we said this on the show or not, but the supervising director for the Clone Wars, including season 7 with the Bad Batch and all that, is Dave Filoni. It is not here. Dave Filoni is in the executive producer role. And when you have an executive producer, it's a real 50-50 shot as far as how involved they are. And I don't know the behind the scenes of Lucasfilm Animation as well as many other people like Sal. You know, I'd love to hear his take on this, actually, because I don't know how involved Dave would be directly with the development of the story and the execution of the story for this show. If he's heavily involved, then I'm more optimistic. If he's more of a backseat role to this supervising director and to these writers and all that, then I don't know. I mean, I hope it's great, but I'll watch it when it comes out. I'm not super hyped, but we'll see.
Okay, next one.
Huh?
You had more reservations or no?
I mean, a couple of minor things, but those were the big points for me.
Okay. I think my reservations, like I was talking online immediately with one of the gentlemen who I follow, Hector Zoom Tech on there, and obviously Matt. And our general consensus was, hey, this sounds cool. Hopefully there's not a lot of Jedi. And, you know, then we start seeing hints from, you know, Corey and Noah, who sort of broke the news a month or so ago that Ahsoka's in it and Rex is in it. And that kind of runs counter to everything I would want in the show. You know, I there's definitely a show in the in it. It's just, it doesn't need to be this show.
You know, I feel like at this point they're sticking Ahsoka and potentially Rex into a lot of things, like side characters for The Mandalorian, maybe with this. There's been conversations about they're trying to explore if she should have her own show or whatever. At this point, if you're putting her into this many things, just freaking put her in her own show or go based off The Mandalorian or something like that. I don't know. I feel like if they put her in here, I mean, I love to see Ahsoka and things, but I don't want to see her used as like a poster face just to get people excited. Like, I'm afraid it's going to get to the point where they just put her in a show to get people hyped as a bonus side character without giving her her own story.
I wouldn't mind if she and Rex are sort of the guest stars in the first arc to sort of hand off the show. You know what I mean?
That would be okay.
Yeah, because then you're going to get her reaction to everything. You don't really have that in, you know, how to describe it. So we got her Siege of Mandalore, which everybody didn't expect. And now we're basically going to get her reaction to the Jedi Purge in Order 66. You know, you didn't get to see that in the show so much. You got to see her experience it, but you didn't get her sort of take on it.
Right.
Which is fine if you see it initially, but I don't want it to be a central part of the show. It sounds like they're setting up the show to pretty much do what I wanted anyway. You know, you and I had talked about it would be cool to have sort of the Star Wars Underworld type, to where you could have Boba Fett and Cad Bane and all that type of stuff. And with these guys working as mercenaries, I don't see how you can't come across some of those characters.
Sure.
You know, we may even get, you know, that Boba Fett Cad Bane storyline.
Well, and the writer you mentioned before, apparently he also wrote that we never got.
Oh, I'm gonna tweet him when this is over.
Hey, you know it worked. What was the Godzilla thing you tweeted or something about that?
Right.
What happened with that?
Right, it did. Yeah, well, it was. I tweeted to the director of the new Godzilla. You know, can we please get the classic music? And he liked the tweet, so that was usually, for me, that was like coming.
There you go.
So we'll see. We'll see.
Have you looked close enough to see if you're in the credits?
No. No, I haven't looked close enough. I mean, there's a lot that it can do with this show. And there's a lot of area it can, you know, there's a lot of area it can cover. You could even possibly get, and I wouldn't mind seeing it, I wouldn't mind seeing a Rex versus Cody standoff.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Right. So I wouldn't doubt if there's some things picked up here, you know, some little storyline threads or whatever. But ultimately, they can go anywhere. You don't have to have the Bad Batch in every episode.
That is true. And here is one other thing I just thought of, too. Because I'm talking about, you know, the people behind it and all that. Like, I, of course, freaking love the Clone Wars. It's amazing. Rebels came out. I liked it. It wasn't as good as the Clone Wars, though. In a way, it was slightly disappointing. And again, I don't mean to talk bad about the show because I like it, but it wasn't at the supernova level of Clone Wars. And Resistance, same thing. So when a new animated show gets announced, I'm just right off the bat trying to not get my expectations so high to match the Clone Wars, especially with this being like a follow-up to it. But at the same time, it just occurred to me, this is the first animated series coming to Disney Plus that they have some level of control over as well. And this is coming after the success of season 7 of Clone Wars on Disney Plus. So maybe they will take a hint from that and be like, hey, we're going to try to match or keep in mind the intensity and all that kind of stuff that had, and like the gravity or whatever that the story had, and try to incorporate that into this show. That would be, you know, if they have that mentality, again, that would give me a lot more hope about it.
Well, and some of the other things that they can touch. I mean, just thinking about it, you know, what was it? Trace and Rafa, is it the two girls?
Yeah.
They're technically mercenaries.
That's true.
So I'm starting to wonder if perhaps some of these storylines were... Some of the storylines that we got of season 7 were done so that we could have some things. Like, I always wondered why we got the Bad Batch.
Yeah.
Well, now I know.
Right.
You know, because they like to say Disney has announced production on, well, you know, if the head writer's like, we've been doing it, you know, the stories are great. Well, you didn't just say, okay, we're doing it today, now go get to work on it. They've obviously been working on it for a while. And yeah. Then the question is that this going to take the same sort of time slot that Clone Wars had? That sort of February?
Yeah.
That sort of February, Mandalorian's over, now here's the new thing.
Yeah, and because potentially after that, I don't think they'll be concurrent. So after that, Corey, I saw earlier today, said that they still are hearing and planning on there being the Rebels sequel series as well. And he's thinking that might be 2021 as well. So again, if the Bad Batch takes the first half, maybe a Rebels sequel takes the second half, which would also make sense because Rebels was typically in the fall when it was on a Disney XD.
Do you need a series?
No, but I also don't need the Bad Batch either.
No, but what I'm saying is, like, let's say for Rebels, right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind just seeing a limited series, so to speak. I don't need season after season after season.
You know, like a mini series.
Yeah, I'll take 10, 15 episodes maybe.
Yeah.
Just of one story.
Yeah, that's fine.
I think that you know, we're not getting that as much as we should. You know, anything's possible with streaming services. So I don't see why we have to have, you know, open-ended series. And I still want to see what happens after Jedi with yep. Luke and Han, and you know, that's the only way we're going to get these characters again, really. I don't know what they're holding away.
Something that just occurred to me, that is an animated series that I would be excited to see, is a like Luke, Han, and Leia post Return of the Jedi. And at first I'm like, I don't know if I want to see them in animated form, blah, blah, blah. But look at the Clone Wars, like, you know, Anakin and Obi-Wan and Padme and all of them in the animated show, like they're just as much, if not more, of those characters to some people than they were in the movies. So they can't, it would be a little harder because they're these three, Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher, and Mark Hamill, are seeing more of like the Holy Trinity of Star Wars, a little bit more than the prequel ones are, so maybe a little harder, but I think it can be done.
You could bring back, excuse me, at this point, if they do it now, you could bring back Mark Hamill to voice the Skywalker. You could bring back Billy Dee Williams to voice Leia. There's people out there who could do a good Han and a good, you know, a good Leia. Obviously, Anthony Daniels can three people.
Yeah.
But I don't see why you can't have that, you know, and the beauty of the Clone Wars is Clone Wars could do things that even, you know, the crazy prequels couldn't do as far as creatures and worlds and all that sort of stuff. And so it would really be awesome to see, you know, Luke and the gang sort of in that crazy Star Wars universe that you've come to expect from animation. So,
and this may be asking. Well, like, this may be asking too much, but let's just say that they do this. You get Timothy Zahn to write a couple episodes or do a couple stories for this timeline that may or may not involve Luke and Thrawn together. You have a happy customer right here.
And you could throw in Mara Jade just as a character that never, ever gets close to Luke as far as, you know, a relationship. People would be happy.
I mean, yes, some people would be happy. Some people would think that it was, like, not nearly enough.
That's true.
Like, I don't know. I feel like that might be more divisive in the long run.
Yeah, I probably would. It would be, like, you know, dangling bait in front of you.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm excited for it overall. You know, it's Star Wars. At this point, there's nothing coming anytime soon.
Yeah, there's a Twitter account I follow, and it's like, how many days until the next Star Wars movie? And it's like 800-something. I'm like, that's depressing.
Yeah, but I also wonder if we're ever going to get those. That, you know, in, what is it, 2 Christmases from this year?
I'm like, that is certainly enough time to change everything.
Yeah, you know, everything's sort of in flux. I mean, you know, not to talk about the virus and all that, but California just shut back down pretty much today.
Yeah, I saw that.
You know, I'm not in California anymore, but yeah, they just shut back down. Where I'm at in beautiful Idaho, it's kind of a mix. You know, there is a movie theater close to me that's actually open, and there's a bunch of movie theaters that are closed. Right. Right now, Tim, if I wanted to, guess what I could go see at a movie theater?
The Empire Strikes Back?
No. I wish. I don't know why it's not here.
I have that by me.
Do you?
Yeah.
I have a movie you would like.
Jurassic Park?
Yes, I do.
Nice.
Jurassic Park and what else? Ghostbusters and... No, I forget. The one time it was Three Amigos and Goonies. Oh, E.T.'s that one by me, too.
I'm like, I had E.T. This was a few weeks ago, but I did have that out by me. And I think Jaws was by me, too.
Oh, wow. Well, you saw that the number one movie last week in theaters was Empire Strikes Back?
Yeah.
Made $175,000. And actually, hey, but still, you know, that's a movie that's on Disney Plus that everybody probably owns already. And $175,000 worth of people, you know, went and saw it.
Yeah.
I mean,
more than anything else. So that way, I mean, that's not saying a lot, but hey.
Well, I still don't understand why they didn't release these for, you know, Rise of Skywalker, but neither here nor there at this point.
Yeah. Well,
I'm looking forward to going back to the movies. I haven't gone yet. I just haven't had the time, you know, and as much as I swear that I'll see movies in the theater as soon as they open it up, these theaters aren't also in the greatest places in the world.
Yeah.
And the other problem that I have is that there's not an order in place. So while I constantly wear a mask, there's probably only a third of the state that does. The rest just don't care. And so I don't necessarily want to, if everyone's wearing a mask except for when they eat, then I don't really, you know, I'm not really that concerned. But if I'm the only person wearing a mask.
Well, that's kind of funny because I've said before, I do, one of the theaters I go to is an Alamo Draft House. I think it's great. I got it because I'm on their email list for stuff and all that. I saw an email from them recently where they were saying, going over the new procedures and stuff and the gaps between the seating for them opening back up again and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, you know, they say they're requiring you to wear a mask while you're there unless you're eating. And I'm like, okay, they literally bring food to your seat like throughout the movie. So if people keep ordering or just eat slowly, they just don't have a mask on through the whole movie.
Right. Anytime somebody comes to you and says, excuse me, can you put your mask on? You just show your popcorn. I'm still eating.
Right. Like, I guess I get there's only so much they can do and they're working with what they have to work with. But I don't know. I read that and I'm like, okay, what good is that?
Yeah. I mean, you have to be comfortable. I think ultimately you have to be comfortable going there.
Yeah. And I saw another thing.
I would be.
Go ahead.
But no, I'm saying I would be, but that's me. Everybody has their own thing.
Yeah. Well, like I saw an article today that said there was a poll, I think. It said the majority of Americans still aren't comfortable enough going to restaurants yet.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. None of it feels the same, you know?
Yeah. Well, and plus, nobody's clearly given the thumbs up okay without somebody else saying, no, it's not okay yet. Like, there's still debate even if you should be going, even if they're open. So I think people are waiting for some sign that says you are absolutely clear and everyone agrees before they go out.
Well, and then concerns us. So let's put this way. So the Walmart here has Subway inside, right? They've taken out some of the seats. So where if you want to sit in there, you're not close to anyone. They have the 6-foot rule.
Right.
In the parking lot, there's a Panda Express, which you cannot sit in if you want to, nor can you sit outside. They have everything roped off. So even within a city that is allowing people to go back to restaurants with procedures, you know, this company wants this and this company wants that. And it's like you don't have even a sense of a new normal. There's still, you know, the old norm, there's still this here and this here. And so it's hard to get back into a groove, I think.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to ask you something completely random, and I'll explain why after you've answered. Pick a color.
Red.
No, red's what's already here. It's got to be something else.
Okay. I'll say orange.
I mean, that's pretty close, but that's okay.
I mean, I want to say blue because that's kind of, you know, red, white, and blue. But...
Well, the reason I'm asking. Is part of my new setup I have here in my area. I have lights, like wall lights, that they're the only lighting I have in this room right now, and they can be almost any color that you want. So I had them on red because the podcast logo is red. I put a lot of thought into this, and I wanted to change it. And so you say orange, and I did. It's very similar. It's like a deep orange, so it's kind of similar to red.
You know what? My kids had those track lights that were like multicolored in their room.
Yeah.
Green was a good one.
Oh, let's see. I have green. Green is pretty good. Yeah. It's like these are pretty strong lights. Like the colors are really nice.
Yeah.
And they're like deep and vibrant at the same time. So this is like a Luke's saber green. This would make Steel very happy.
I think there's a purple even.
Yeah. No. Let's see. Let me get purple up here. I got it's like a purple and like a fuchsia magenta both. It's nice.
Purple's like when you have a lady.
No, hey, I got a setting for that. It like rotates between three colors.
Oh.
And the preset is called romantic.
And you put on the really slow, like, you know, Star Wars theme song.
No, you do Chicken in the Pot.
Yep. And then you're like, hey, how's it going, girl?
I mean, you could, but again, I repeat, Chicken in the Pot, though. I mean, that vibe.
I showed Solo to him.
Yeah?
Yeah, he liked it.
Nice.
That was very good. He hasn't seen Rogue One, and I don't think he's seen any of the sequels, so.
You know, something else... I can bring up real quick. I have it here somewhere. There was a little while ago. I think it was Drew who I saw did it. So then I did it. Here it is. Yeah, a quiz thing, and it gives you two Star Wars movies, and you choose which one you like better, and it just keeps doing that until it can refine it down, and it shows you your list of how you rank the movies, including Rogue One and Solo.
I did that about.
Yeah.
Can you hold on 1 second?
Yeah.
My parents absolutely love Michael McDonald. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Oh yeah, no,
Doobie Brothers. And my brother loves him too, and it's like, what is going on? So anytime that we're in the house, they put music on, you know, Michael McDonald, and it's like the same music all the time. Well,
I mean, I'll be honest, he's a pretty great singer and songwriter.
He is, but there's a little bit too much Michael McDonald. and I'm trying, you know, I'm trying while I'm a guest at my parents until we get our house. They are currently, for this week, they've decided to go camping. They do have internet access, though, and just decided to, you know, turn on Alexa in the house, Michael McDonald, just to annoy us.
I love it.
I just heard it. No way my wife's playing that. She can't. That music.
I love
and
it.
And then she pokes her head in the room and she goes, "Mom's playing it." I was like, "Oh my God, no." Technology, right? You can be far away and still torment the people you live with.
That's great.
But I had done that one a while back. I don't know why it made its rounds again. But you could do it on me if that's what you want to do. I don't know if that's what you wanted to see. I think last time I did it, it was pretty close. But well, I haven't done it rounds again.
I did it, and it was pretty spot on. And I've said before, I haven't said what my list is, but I've said it before, and it's very unconventional, and I think it would trigger a lot of people. But I did it, and it was pretty accurate to that. But we can go ahead. Yeah, let me find it. I know it's here somewhere.
Yeah, bust it out. Jared, there's no way Jared can take this.
Oh, why? Because deciding?
He's a fence sitter on a lot of stuff. Love you, Jared, if you're listening.
All right, I'm going to find this.
All right.
I hope. Oh, yeah, here it is. Duh. I tweeted it myself. Just go to my own profile. It's not like I'm on Twitter that often. Yeah, I scrolled like 2 times and there it is. Okay. All right, I'm going to give you choices. You tell me which movie you like better, okay?
Will do. I will do.
The Force Awakens and Rogue One.
Rogue One.
Which, by the way, I saw that you are now an only child.
Apparently, yes. It's better than most films. Oh, my God. Come on, discuss that.
The Empire Strikes Back and Revenge of the Sith.
Empire Strikes Back.
Solo, New Hope.
A New Hope.
Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones.
Attack of the Clones.
Last Jedi, Rise of Skywalker.
Rise of Skywalker.
Okay, Force Awakens or Return of the Jedi?
Return of the Jedi.
Return of the Jedi or Rogue One?
Return of the Jedi.
Okay. Solo or Revenge of the Sith?
Revenge of the Sith.
I'm pretty sure, what's his name? What's his name? What's that guy from that movie with the chainsaw?
What, Texas Chainsaw?
Leatherface? I feel like...
Leatherface?
It's one of the Jasons or something. I don't know. I feel like he's outside my house right now because I'm just hearing random chainsaws starting up. Actually, I think it's like a bike, actually. But surprisingly, I'm still getting used to the sounds down here too. Anyway, Solo or Revenge of the Sith?
Revenge of the Sith.
Revenge of the Sith or A New Hope?
New Hope.
All right, New Hope or Empire?
Empire.
Last Jedi Wait. Or Phantom Menace? Phantom Menace or Rise of Skywalker?
Oh. That's tough because I haven't seen Rise of Skywalker. And there's parts of Phantom Menace that hold up so well.
Okay, so I'm pretty sure it cut off because all I heard was you saying, I haven't seen the Rise of Skywalker.
I haven't seen the Rise of Skywalker as much as I've seen the Phantom Menace.
Okay, yeah.
There's parts of Phantom Menace that hold up so well. But there are parts that drag.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say Phantom Menace.
Okay.
Yeah, for now.
Solo or Force Awakens?
Force Awakens.
Force Awakens or Revenge of the Sith?
Oh, Revenge of the Sith.
Revenge of the Sith or Rogue One?
Revenge of the Sith.
Man, it likes this. Revenge of the Sith or Return of the Jedi?
Return of the Jedi.
New Hope or Return of the Jedi?
New Hope.
Solo or Last Jedi?
Solo.
Rise of Skywalker or Solo?
Oh. Rise of Skywalker.
Force Awakens or Rise of Skywalker?
Force Awakens.
I don't even know how this list is forming. Phantom Menace or Force Awakens?
Phantom Menace.
By the way, it says we are not that far from being done, so it should only be a handful of questions left. Rogue One or Phantom Menace?
Rogue One.
Attack of the Clones or Rogue One?
Well, this is me, but it's going to be Attack of the Clones.
Revenge of the Sith or Attack of the Clones?
Oh, Revenge of the Sith.
All right. It has your results.
All right.
According to this, it says, number one, The Empire Strikes Back.
Yes, correct.
Number two, A New Hope.
Very correct.
Number three, Return of the Jedi.
That's fair.
Number four, Revenge of the Sith.
That's fair.
Number five, Attack of the Clones.
That's probably right.
Six, Rogue One.
Okay.
Seven, Phantom Menace.
Okay.
Eight, The Force Awakens.
Right.
Nine, The Rise of Skywalker.
Okay.
10, Solo.
Okay.
And 11, The Last Jedi.
That's pretty damn accurate. I can't think of anything that really jumped out. I'm just not sure of my placement for Phantom Menace necessarily, but you know, and Rise of Skywalker, I still feel like I need to watch it more. A lot of, with everything going on, schooling and moving and just a bunch of other stuff in my life, I don't feel like I've given much. I haven't had much time to just sit there and watch something.
Yeah.
And then I have my dad who wants to watch movies with me all the time, so I'm trying to show him things too.
See, I'm trying to pull up mine here real quick. Because again, I guarantee you, nobody out there agrees with me. I had number one as Return of the Jedi. Said that before. That's my favorite. Number two. I have number two as The Rise of Skywalker.
Wow.
Number three as The Empire Strikes Back. Four as The Force Awakens. Five as A New Hope. Six, Revenge of the Sith. Seven, Rogue One. Eight is The Last Jedi. Nine is Solo. 10 is Attack of the Clones, and 11 is Phantom Menace.
Really? You have that Last Jedi up that high, huh?
What's interesting, and I talked about this with Eric Cameron on Twitter, too. What's interesting is that is just my personal preference as far as which movies I enjoy the most. I did a separate list where I ranked them based off of, like, merit. Like, what I think are the best movies critically. And objectively, not my personal opinion. And it was very different.
Okay, go.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Let me see. Okay, so again, critically, good movies. I have it as one being Revenge of the Sith, two being The Last Jedi, three, Empire, four, Rogue One, A New Hope, Return of the Jedi, Force Awakens, Phantom Menace, Rise of Skywalker, Attack of the Clones, Solo.
That's on merit?
It's just that's based off of, like, again, like critically, like taking away enjoyment, taking away what I like, just looking at what is objectively the best film, not Star Wars, just the best created movie.
Well, it's like for me, I've said this before, I think, in the show, but I think the best made, most original or whatever, even though Star Wars is not original. But I think the best film is A New Hope. It's not my favorite thing. My favorite.
Right.
Empire Strikes Back. So right. Even though I think, you know, Star Wars is, Star Wars, A New Hope is a superior film, I think Empire Strikes Back is my favorite.
Well, and that's one thing, too. I think I had on my list A New Hope and Revenge of the Sith back-to-back. Depending on the day, those can switch. I can have Revenge of the Sith above A New Hope, depending on, like, the mood. But like Rise of Skywalker, for example, very different places on that list. And Last Jedi, same thing. Last Jedi I have as number two on just movie, like created movie. Because I think it is extremely well done as a film. Personal enjoyment, it was in the bottom half of my list. Rise of Skywalker, it was my number two on personal enjoyment. I love that movie. And I saw it at the time, and it hasn't changed since then. The Rise of Skywalker is in the bottom half of the list of, because I know that there are issues with it. I know it isn't the critically best made movie. And I think it could have done a lot better objectively if it had had more time and it could have fleshed things out a bit more and let the story like develop naturally and not, you know, push you along. But at the end of the day, I just enjoy the crap out of it. So it's really interesting because I understand what people dislike about it. I feel differently, but I understand it.
I love talking Star Wars with you so long.
Yeah. No, it has. And like going back to that again with like Last Jedi, I highly respect Rian Johnson as a filmmaker, and I think it took a lot of guts to do what he did. And I think, again, as a film, it's an excellent product. I think as a consumer of Star Wars things, as a Star Wars fan, again, it wasn't my number one. I don't hate it, but, and there are, like, so it's weird. So I think I might have said this on this show. I don't remember if it was a conversation I had in person or if it was on the show, but some of my favorite scenes in the franchise are in Last Jedi. The movie as a whole just doesn't top the list for me.
Right. No, I get that. I get that. I agree. I actually agree with that.
Well, that's cool. We didn't discuss this beforehand, listeners. This is a pure coincidence that we agree.
Yeah, I don't necessarily even have a problem with Luke and that. You know, I don't. I just, once Luke reaches a certain age, there's so many ways to go with
it. Yeah.
But just something about it, you know, it's too much. It's way too much. Subversion, quote unquote, in my opinion, or going away from the established philosophy. Like if Force Awakens started sort of with that subversion,
mm-hmm,
so to speak, and that's what that's what the sequel series was, then it would make sense. That's what it would be, you know. Instead, you've got its best attempt to sort of recapture the feel of the original, and then you've got version. And a lot of it knocking out what Abrams had done. And I know some people would like to argue that, but one of the things I see people, haters of Rise of Skywalker and lovers of Last Jedi, like to talk about how, you know, anything in that movie, anything in Rise of Skywalker, you put Rose here or Rose there. You know, they love the character of Rose Tico because they love Last Jedi. Well, I love the character of Phasma. You know, and I would have loved to see her in Last Jedi. Instead, they sort of bring her up real quick, jettison her off, and then I never get a satisfying conclusion to, you know, to her story, in my opinion.
Right.
You know, people were wondering if she'd be the next Boba Fett, and it's like, yeah, well, guess what?
What
both
about
of
a
them fall pain? Into a, yeah, and both of them fall into, like, you know, a pit, pretty much, multiple times.
Well, that is true. But real quick shout out to Hawes at Blue Harvest, because he had one of the best podcast titles I've ever seen a few weeks ago. He titled his episode Living in a Vanth Down by the River.
Oh, nice.
Legendary title. Like, I should just give up trying to name podcast episodes now, because he just peaked.
I'm forgetting it so soon. So soon. I start seeing some trailers pretty soon.
You know, that's true, because they've said they're not changing the schedule, and Mandalorian is coming in October, which is, what, 3 months? Yeah.
Yeah.
At the same time, I'm just thinking here, they don't need a lot of promo for it, because it's being released weekly. People love to catch up anyway, or they'll get the social media hype or whatever, just like it did in season one. This is a huge show already, just from season one. They don't need to get people to watch. They've already got that. So they may wait until pretty late to give us any type of trailer.
Yeah. All you got to do is just show Baby Yoda. There you go.
Yeah, pretty much.
Retweet that. We don't even need it. We just have a Baby Yoda trailer.
Can you imagine Baby Yoda getting his own Disney Plus series, live action?
I wouldn't be surprised. It's only a matter of time.
I don't know. I mean,
it pretty much is the Baby Yoda show anyway.
That's true. Yeah. And it's
funny. Wonder though, I don't, what, go ahead.
Well, see, I remember hearing, and this was a long time ago, like right after The Mandalorian was announced to be a TV show, I read a rumor slash report right after it came out online, and I haven't seen it since. But it said it was somebody who worked at Lucasfilm, blah, 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 and people didn't believe him. But he said the entire show starts with this Mandalorian bounty hunter wanting to, or having a bounty that he shows up to execute it or whatever. And it's a kid, and he wasn't expecting that. And he ends up taking the kid and saving the kid. And the rest of the series is about him and the kid's journey on the run, pretty much.
Oh, yeah. And because I remember in the beginning, everyone was saying that it was potentially going to be like a cup.
Yeah, yeah. So, and I'm like, and I haven't seen it anywhere since. I've been trying to find that, and I haven't. But again, a lot of people at first were crapping on that idea, saying like, oh, yeah, you know, and I work for Sony and blah, blah, whatever. But I mean, obviously, we now know that that's the case. And I feel like they're going to just generally continue that same storyline with season two. And it's just bigger, better adventures with bigger, better characters along the way. And so I'm excited for it.
It's about the only Star Wars we're going to get anytime soon, so better be excited for it, even if not.
And we didn't talk about it because it happened in the time frame where we weren't having any episodes the past few weeks, but they did release the last episode of the Disney Gallery series.
Oh, yeah, those were good. Those were all good.
Yeah, they were all good. I enjoyed them all, and especially the one for scoring at the end was cool. I love it whenever that gets a highlight. Especially with Star Wars, because it's so significant. It's part of the DNA of the series. But that was really cool. And just seeing that the creative process and how it came about and his involvement with it, I think it's great. And I love promoting that type of thing.
They said there was one online right now about the making of Solo.
Oh, really?
And I looked, I'm like, I don't find it. I'm trying to see. Disney tweeted it out. Let's see.
I'd love to watch that. I haven't. Well, it will be very interesting if it's the actual making of or if it's a sugar-coated making of, because we know well the production issues that movie had.
Because it just sucks. Well, let me see if I can find it yesterday. Okay, so. I don't know if they're showing this making Solo Endeavor. Take off behind the scenes of Solo, a Star Wars story, now streaming on Disney Plus. I think it's, you know what, in hindsight, they showed three pictures behind the scenes of that tweet. Follow me?
Yeah.
So that's probably what they're saying. Here's behind the scenes pictures of Solo now tweeting. I mean, now streaming, not.
Right, Solo as a movie is on Disney Plus, and here are some behind the scenes pictures that were in the
tweet. That would have been cool, though. I looked in the special features. Just trying to see if it was there.
Yeah, that would be great. And I maintain, I've said this before, I still feel this way. I listen to it on occasion. I still feel like the Solo soundtrack, just as a soundtrack, listening to it, is one of the more underrated ones to come out within the past few years of any movie.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I absolutely agree with that. And we all know which one we like. So.
Yeah.
Anything with the TIE Fighter music, whatever.
You know, at this point, I wonder, we haven't talked about this a lot either. Well, I know, I guess we did a little bit. I would say about the Ludwig Göransson music for Mandalorian, about how it expands the scope of Star Wars music. We talked about that a little bit, but again, if you haven't seen it and you want to look into that more, that is one of the topics that they talk about in the Disney Gallery episode on the music. They do dive into that a little bit, and Jon Favreau, I forget how he said it, but he said something I really liked, which was basically they want to acknowledge the music that was there before and show that it's in the same world, but they're not going to duplicate it because first off, they can't. He's not John Williams. But secondly, this is a different story. He's like, it's a different story in a different timeline with different characters. It's going to have a different feel, which is different music. Right. I think that's very fair and a very healthy way to look at it.
I think they should do it. I think they should do it on the next one.
Kenobi?
Yeah. Well, no, I don't. I think the farther away you step away, the farther you step away from the original trilogy, the more separate the.
Yeah. Well, but I don't know. Do you think they should go for like a prequel sounding soundtrack with it or no?
I don't really know. I think generally the idea should be that this is the soundtrack that Kenobi's had his whole life. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
This music is stuff that he would have. So when he's doing his solo adventure, he's still going to be in that same ring. Does that make sense? Well,
yeah. What I would imagine, and this is just my on-the-spot speculation, I feel like whatever the score is, it has to match what's going on. So there's going to be a lot of isolation and Tatooine Desert from what we know. It seems to be going that way. I don't think he's going off to Naboo and having a ton of adventures there. You never know. But I would imagine the score would largely reflect that in more of a Mandalorian style than John Williams episode 2 style. But I could also see there being moments in there that are more flashy and more regal, like Obi-Wan as a character will likely be in the show. So I think that would be pretty cool, where it can have moments and instances and highlights where it shows you, hey, this is still that character, you know, but the overall tone and vibe is different from how you've known him so far.
Yep.
Cool.
Let's see how all this stuff plays out. There's nothing happening right now. Although they are, I think they are restarting. Well, they're not restarting. I don't think they're restarting Obi-Wan yet. But like some of the things, what was it? Like Falcon and Winter Soldier only had a week or two left of shooting. They're finishing that. And then I saw today that they're doing the Batman on a soundtrack now.
You know, originally they were supposed to start the Cassian series in June, right?
Yeah, well, those scripts better be tight. I don't want to hear that. We talked about it before. I don't want to hear the excuse anymore.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. We'll find out more. Actually, I wonder if... No, that won't work. Never mind. I just disproved my own theory before I even said it. All right, I think we're good to go. Again, the main thing to cover was the Bad Batch and also just generally catching up. One last observation I've noticed based off that listing that we did, that we went over. If you look at movie, typically my favorite movie in a trilogy is the last one. And that's true for the Star Wars trilogies. And it's true for like Lord of the Rings, for example. And I was thinking about it and it hit me. I'm like, I think it's because I like to see when a movie is intended to be a trilogy, I like to see the third because it's the climax. It's the point of the first two is to get to the third. So it's like the main thing. So that's partly what I like about it. And like, there are typically like redemption storylines and stuff like that, which I like. But part of what made me also realize this is because something like Back to the Future, my favorite, is the first one, not the third one, but that wasn't intended to be a trilogy. They stuck on sequels because the first one was successful. So I thought that was interesting. Like if it's plotted out to be a grand finale in that way, I tend to like it. And if it's not, I don't know.
You just broke it down, didn't you?
Yeah, I don't know who cares, but hey, I did it.
We'll see how many listeners we have after COVID and a long break.
That is true. It was going down anyway because of like the people not listening on their way to work and all that kind of. But I don't know. Maybe it'll pick up a little bit because people are starting to get back to work. Still working from home. Still going back. It's kind of a mix. We'll see. I know for a fact that we have at least two people who will listen.
Awesome.
Let's go. I like you too. You know who you are. Maybe three. If he's not too busy, maybe a third.
As long as it's not less than the two of us, then that's fine. If we only have one listener, that's horrible. Two of us are recording this for one person. Might as well just come on with us.
Hey, that's a VIP person, though. Whoever it is, the one listener. Anyway, all right.
You are well, VIP. You know who you are. Leave it at that. Everybody, I think
there you go. I'm like, everybody who listens to this, you're the VIP.
Yep.
Well, again, it's been a little while, but it was fun. We were never like going anywhere. I think a couple people had asked me about that. I'm like, no, like, we're never going anywhere. It's just a very, very busy time for reasons we mentioned before. But we're the plan as of now is to get right back to normal schedule and to get back to weekly as much as we can. You know, there will, we have lives. There will be times when, you know, we can't get it this week, like just like happened before, but we should be pretty much back to normal with our new episodes coming out pretty regularly. So I hope you're going to be here to listen to it. We're going to be here to talk about it with you. And we'll be back next time. So everybody, continue to have a great summer. Continue to stay safe. And if it's warm where you are, try to cool off, drink lots of water, stay hydrated, all that kind of good stuff. We'll be back next time.
Bye, everybody.